Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 132. I'm your host, Bean Weeks, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Gies. Good evening, Stephen.
Hey there. Hey. I've been kind of sick for the past week, and I'm down to a bit of a lingering cough here, so if you hear me turn away from the microphone and make weird noises, it's not on purpose, so excuse me in advance. But I've been worrying about getting better quickly enough because my lady friend and I have tickets tomorrow in Atlanta. We're going to drive to Atlanta to see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra do one of my all-time favorite symphonies, the Ravel Orchestration of Modesto Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. Woo-hoo. Man, that's a great show to see. I've seen that probably dozens of times throughout my life, and anytime it's within hundreds of miles of me, I have to go. I was also worried because Monday I've got a big lunch in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, with some of our authors. Dick Ferrer, who is the author of The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, about the construction company CFW in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and Stephen Hargis, one of the people who's going to be at that lunch. He's the author of Eight Hateful Miles, the book we published about the high school football rivalry between Marion County and South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. And that book turned into a bestseller. It's been selling very well, especially in the fall for the last 3 years. So those two and an attorney from Fayetteville are there, and we're going to talk about putting out a book that's a 100-year history of Tennessee high school football. And, you know, they take football seriously here in the South. And, you know, our guest today is in Texas, and I hear they kind of take it a little seriously down there, too. So these books about high school football, they sell real well. So luckily I'm feeling better, and hopefully all these will go well. And how you been?
I've been pretty good. We had a little bit of a warm day today. I think we hit like 42, so, and that's warm for this time of the year here in Michigan. But it beats the 1 degrees and, you know, with a wind chill 12 below zero that we went through for a long stretch. I like it when it gets like this because the snow has melted off now. And we'll probably get some more before winter is over with. But when the snow has melted off and it just starts to look a little bit like spring and there's a blue sky above instead of that gray, dingy, you know, darkness that Michigan is known for in the wintertime, that puts me in a good mood. So I was in a good mood today, and I got some work done, and I'm feeling fine.
Oh, that's cool. So we've got some books in pre-sale right now. First up, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms, which is a republish of an earlier version of a story he wrote quite a while back. This is a story about a backwoods preacher in Arkansas who gets caught up in a whole bunch of stuff, becomes a famous televangelist, and then there's scandals and intrigue and suspense and drama and you name it, it's in there. And that's by Carlisle Toms. It's called The Calling Dream. It's in pre-sale right now. Go to your favorite retailer, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Books A Million, wherever you get your books, and place your order now, and your book will be delivered March 17th on the actual release date, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
All right, and another one we have in pre-sale right now is Redemption, A Father's Fatal Decision by Gwen M. Plano. That'll be available. It's available for pre-sale right now, so get over there and reserve your copy, and it will be delivered to you February 21st. So get over there and do that. If you want to be part of tonight's show, you can call or you can get on through Twitter. Regular listeners, you know how to do that, but for those of you who don't or you need a reminder, here's how you do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right. So we've got another book that recently came out. You don't have to wait. It's no longer in pre-sale. You order your copy now, you can get it right away. And that's the fourth book in a Mac McDowell Mission series. This one's called Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willis-Croft. And these are Cold War submarine thrillers, basically U.S. versus Russia kind of stuff. And these books are doing very well. And this fourth book in the series right now, I'm seeing some very nice numbers coming through. So congratulations to Robert G. Willis-Croft. That's Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell Mission. Get over there and get your copy now.
Yeah, and speaking of Operation Whiteout, I worked on the audio book today. I knocked out another chapter, and this is, we're getting near to the end of this one, so keep an ear out for this one. We've got all kinds of audiobooks. You can learn all about this book when it's done and all the other audiobooks and anything Fresh Ink Group by subscribing to our newsletter. You know how to do that? Here's how you do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? That audiobook, I'm not going to put a time stamp on it, but it's within the next couple of weeks it'll be all done. Hopefully within the next week it'll be done. So, you know, like I said, keep your eyes and ears peeled on the newsletter, because you'll get all the updates. And plus, we'll talk about it on this show as well. But these audiobooks are a lot of fun. We've got a whole selection of audiobooks from Ellie Collins and Robert G. Willis-Croft. We got a bunch of his over there on Amazon. So go check them out. They're really cool.
Yep. And you don't have to alert me. I routinely keep my ears peeled.
That's all right.
We've got some print sales going on these podcasts. I like to update what are the top five print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group for the week so far. In the number one slot, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. And that's by retired Naval Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate, who was chief of the boat and has just 60 chapters worth of stories to tell in what's becoming one of our best-selling books of the year. So Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks. Get over there and check that out. Now, in the number two and three slots, you heard us just mention Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell Mission. The hardcover and softcover are holding down the number two and three slots in our bestseller list this week. And here's an interesting thing. There's only one book difference between the hardcover sales and the softcover sales. So basically, we're talking like for every 100 softcovers, he's selling 101 hardcovers. And that continues to be a trend we've seen over the past 12 months or so of hardcovers surging in sales compared to their softcover equivalents. You know, it used to be like 1 in 10 was good. For every 10 softcovers, if you'd sell a hardcover, great. But we're actually seeing hardcovers outselling softcovers in a lot of them now, and this is an example. Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell Mission. Go check that out and check out the first three books in the series, too. Operation Ivy Bells is a perpetual bestseller. Then in the fourth slot, with the same number of sales as Operation Whiteout softcovers, right down to the exact number of books, is How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee by A.K. Wingler, who is going to be a guest on the show in the coming weeks. We're looking forward to talking to her again. But these food truck business books, she's got three states out so far, Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. She's working on Alabama and Texas right now, and try to have those out in the next couple of months or so. They're doing really well. There's a lot of interest in food truck business these days. And then in the fifth slot, only two books behind the food truck book is B.A. Johnson's Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. And that's the second illustrated children's book in her series following Sassy discovers the AME Church. So these are AME Church oriented books to help young people learn about their religion, their faith, and the history of their church, and get to know it through a fun character named Sassy. So congratulations, B.A. Johnson. Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret is selling very well this week.
Yeah, all right. So listeners, do you have a favorite episode of this show that you've heard in the past and you want to hear it again? Or maybe you missed an episode, like tonight, one of our regulars, Verwang Greenhow, he's on the road, so he's not going to be able to listen to the show. but he'll be able to listen to it in our archives. And here's how you can find our archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
All right. So it's the thing with Spotify, the last couple of weeks, Spotify's been lagging behind. They were off for a while there. You couldn't even log on for almost the whole day here not too long ago. So if you can't find it on Spotify, it's all over the place. Just search it up.
Yeah. And let me make a quick suggestion, Beam. Let's go ahead and roll the redemption commercial and then introduce our guest this week. And we'll get a little more time with her.
We can do that. Redemption, a father's fatal decision.
Family secrets can be deadly. When Lisa visits her parents one fateful Saturday morning, she hugs her father and takes her suitcase to her childhood bedroom. The doorbell rings. And 1 minute later, her father lies dead on the floor, 3 bullets to the chest. The death of Eric Holmes sends shockwaves throughout the quiet neighborhood. But for the Holmes family, it's devastating. In this fast-paced psychological thriller, Lisa and her brother embark on a quest to solve the mystery of their father's murder. The journey takes them into a secret world where nothing is as it seems. Once the puzzle pieces begin to coalesce, they realize that their father had multiple lives. As the facts unravel, the siblings discover the true meaning of redemption. Gwen M. Plano's Redemption is available worldwide in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats. Published proudly by Fresh Ink Group. Redemption by Gwen M. Plano.
All right. So that's in pre-order. It's going to be available February 21st. So get over to Amazon and pre-order that. That helps. The pre-orders really help to boost those first day sales numbers. And it's always, you know, a good thing for the author. So chip in and get over there and grab a copy. All right. So let's bring in this week's guest. C.J. Peterson is an 8-time award-winning multi-genre published author since 2012. She is also a podcaster, blogger, and a publisher who knows how to relate well to folks of all ages. She has 4 series currently out, Grace Restored series, the Holy Flame trilogy, and the Divine Legacy series for young adults and adults, where the characters cross over storylines. In her series book, the spiritual realm crosses into the physical. Where there's dark, there's light. Where there are angels, there are demons. It's an edge-of-your-seat journey that will have you holding on to the pages for dear life. I like a good read like that. The standalone book, Strength from Within, is also part of this series, along with the Christmas novella, Christmas Angels. And angels is spelled like an acronym. This is full immersion series in one you have to experience for yourself. And with that, welcome to the show, C.J. Peterson.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, C.J.
Hi. A lot of those books sounded really good you guys were talking about.
Yeah. You ought to go out and grab some of those. Help the author out.
I probably will. I like the submarine one. That one sounds pretty cool.
All right. CJ, I've not been familiar with you in the past until we actually got to talk this past week, and that was exciting. I've learned quite a bit about you and your work and have become a fan in a very short amount of time. We know you grew up an Army brat and that you've now wound up somewhere in the southern United States. Where are you now and where are you living? What's life like down there?
We're in East Texas, a town called Lufkin. We tell a lot of people basically it's the stopping point. People usually stop at between Houston and Shreveport when they go on a trip. It's kind of usually like their bathroom break or their lunch break or dinner break. They usually stop off in Lufkin. We have a 5-acre farm, and it's basically an apiary and an orchard. As far as what I do, there's a lot.
So What kind of childhood did you have? Were you always into reading and writing, creative outlets? What sort of upbringing? What brought you along?
Well, yeah. I mean, with all moving around, it was my one constant, my one escape was writing. For the most part, I was discouraged in writing. People basically just said it was a hobby. It's never going to amount to anything. You need to find a real job.
Wow.
And so, yeah. But when I met my husband, I read the books to him one time. We started reading through them, and he says, "You really do need to publish these." And I said, okay. So we made a deal that, you know, if the books, the messages in the books at least help one person, then we've made our goal.
Oh, good goal.
Yeah,
you know, you were also into drawing, right?
Pardon?
You were also into drawing, right? Drawing and writing?
I was, yeah. I like to do landscapes. I don't do people well. So when it comes to, like, my children's books, I did not animate them. I have some amazing illustrators. No, I can't draw noses. I can do like a profile, but I can't draw noses. So a lot of times I would just like to stick with landscapes.
Yeah, you know, just the whole idea that, you know, you were discouraged from writing, that's inexcusable. I grew up, my dad and my grandfather, his father, were both writers. So it was just something that was always there. You know, it was, but back in the day, I didn't expect to make, you know, any kind of a career or anything out of it. But, you know, I was always encouraged. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of discouraging to hear that you were discouraged.
I was. And then I was adopted later. And that family nurtured it. They loved it, actually. My sister started publishing in 2012. I finally got her moving on her books in 2015. So there are now two authors in the family, and our niece's children get the benefit of the children's books.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
But they're fun. The one book, it was part of the Holy Flame trilogy. My sister-in-law actually messaged me one time. This is kind of great encouragement from family. She goes, "Here I am sitting on a beach in Waikiki, and I'm reading this section of the Call to Duty." She goes, "And there's not a Kleenex in sight." And I'm like, "Well, you know, sister, I had a little compassion for you to mention you're on the beach, and that you're on your own." But the encouragement was there, and so I took that as the encouragement.
Yeah, and for all of the people who discourage you, you can be the person who encourages others now. And
yeah.
Exactly.
What a wonderful arc that is. So,
exactly.
CJ,
I like to do that.
When we talked the other day, I called you a Renaissance woman because you've got your fingers in so many different things and so many different ways you exercise your skills. I'm going to throw out some different roles you play here and let you tell us about each one. First of all, author. You've written some books, some stories, some things like that. Have you won any awards for that stuff?
I actually do. I don't know where you got the 8 time. It's actually 10 time. I've run 10 awards. There's 18 novels, 2 children's books, as 3 anthologies. So that might have been my bad in sending that. I don't know where that's at. I need to find that on my website. But it's actually 10 times. And, yeah, we have fun with that. I get paid for making stuff up. I'm initially a big people book is what I call them. Being a publisher, that's another hat that I wear. But we refer to them as big people books and little people books. So I'm a big people book writer and a children's book author by happenstance. So that was a long story, too, for that one.
Well, we're going to ask you about your children's books, too. But how about this role, blogger? Have you done any blogging?
I actually have 2 blogs. One is A Journey to Fruitfulness, and that is basically my husband and I taking our 5-acre farm from ground zero to fully functioning, self-sustaining. I share our joys, our successes, our mistakes, our epic failures. We have an apiary and we have an orchard, and there are plenty of things. Weather's like our biggest issue in getting stuff moving, but, you know, I share the lessons that we've learned along the way. And then the other one is the Shelf Life blog. There are plenty of authors, book reviews, there's spotlights. I'm also a blogger for Lone Star Literary Life for that one. And, yeah, I enjoy that and spreading, you know, the word about other people and other authors and their stuff, too.
All right. you're also a podcaster. And
I am.
So what's tell us a little bit about your podcast. What's it about?
Technically there's three, but there's two that you guys know of. The one is Magic Making Mischief, and that's with my co-host, Mombirella. She's a YouTuber, and I'm a podcaster. We've kind of gotten together and joined forces. And she calls her people on YouTube magic makers. So, and we'd like to get into trouble. So we do Magic Making Mischief. It's clean. It's family friendly. And we go to different events and cover them, and we get to interview people. For example, you know, we have voice actors that are lined up. We have cosplayers. We have all sorts of Comic Cons. We have, you know, and then we do a video of the coverage, and then we kind of go over it on the next one. For example, she went on vacation for the first episode. She went on vacation to University Studios, and she shared about that. And then today I did our Carnival cruise and gave some tips and tricks for those, you know, cruisers. And then the other one is Book World, The Great Escape, and that's with my co-host, author Michael Scott Clifton. And we interview authors regarding their genres. It's very topical. We're going to be doing audiobooks. We've done a part one, part two. We've done marketing. We've done pretty much everything an author needs to know. And that idea came up from us doing so many author panels. We're like, you know, what if we just turn this into a podcast? So we take topics. It's topic-oriented. And if we have an author on, we talk mainly about their topic, you know, and about their books and stuff as well. But it allows people to kind of get an inside look at the author world, and it helps those aspiring authors to get some tips and tricks along the way. And then the other one is one I just started. I only am on it the first Thursday of the month, and that is the Corner Bookstore, and that's with USA Global TV.
Okay, so
where can
people find these podcasts?
They can find the two main ones that I talked about. Those actually have web pages on my webpage, or on cjpetersonwrites.com under podcast. There's a little drop down, and you can pick which one you want. It has all of our links are on there. There's like the last 3 to 5 episodes are on there. For Magic Making Mischief, I put a calendar on it today telling where we're going to be, and, you know, maybe you can come find us. The tagline for that one is, we solemnly swear we are up to no good. So that one's always good fun. And okay. Then Book World also has its own page, and that's also on cjpetersonwrites.com. And then the Corner Bookstore, we interview authors. And that one is on U.S. Global TV.
Okay.
And that's how you can find it. There's a YouTube channel for that one as well.
Cool.
That one I'm brand new to. I've only had one of those.
I'm going to
share that on Twitter right now. Yeah, so the next thing on my list then is publisher. And your publishing house has got a kind of a poignant name and a little bit of a poignant history. Tell us about becoming a publisher.
Yep, it's Texas Sisters Press. We should have thought the whole S thing through, because trying to spell that out is always fun. But my sister and I started Texas Sisters Press together. We founded it, and we started in December of 2019, and we started accepting authors in 2020, and we are now up to 10 authors. She has since handed over the reins of the company to my husband and I, but she still publishes as well. So she still listed as the founder. And, yeah, we take authors, and we don't just publish their books. What we do is I take them through a marketing presentation. We get them all set up on their social medias. We get them, you know, everything, so everything is streamlined. So when their book is ready to launch, that they're already ready to go, and they've already got a base of people and followers already set up.
All right.
So.
Well, I just shared your website. So
cool.
Oh, thank you.
All right, listeners, get over there and check out the hashtag Freshing Group, and you can click on it, and you can go and check out everything that CJ has to offer, which is really cool.
Yeah.
If you're looking at Twitter right now, Marlena Smith Burris says that she loves the sound of your blogs and podcasts.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we cool. have, for Texas Sisters Press, it is a hybrid press, just so everybody's aware. And when you go to TexasSistersPress.com, if you go under submissions, it tells you everything we do and everything we don't do, along with some testimonials from our authors.
All right. Okay, so we've also got you down here as a public speaker, as if you had nothing else to do. What kind of public speaking do you do?
I have a lot of variety in options for people. I've, on my website, Cesar Peterson Writes, if you go under speaker, there's for action adventure, there's sci-fi and fantasy, may the odds be ever in your favor. There's a Christmas holiday graphics one that allows where I talk you through like holiday marketing, because that's always, you know, fun for authors. I also have, gosh, I'm trying to think real quick. There's navigating the author world, exploring the publishing realm. There's an overall marketing and branding, historical fiction. There's storytelling. There's podcasting, short stories. So I have a myriad of topics I've already got ready to go.
All right.
Cool. So, Beam, let's roll another commercial here, and then we've got more questions for author, publisher, Renaissance woman, C.J. Peterson, who's our guest tonight.
Okay.
In 1945, 10-year-old Ronald Dennison, the son of a backwoods Arkansas preacher, began having profound dreams about religion and a strange red-haired woman. The dreams follow him for decades, with the woman sometimes seducing him, other times calling him to become a televangelist, but eventually berating him for his sins of lust. She holds a secret so dark that he dares never admit it, even to himself. The more famous and wealthier he becomes, the more he struggles with his adultery, his fetish, and his shame, until his torment can no longer be contained. Staggering revelations challenge everything he ever believed. Will truth bring him the peace he always craved? Or will the woman's demands prove more than he can bear? Read the novel, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
In pre-sale now. Get over there and order your copy.
Yes,
so
indeed.
We're talking to C.J. Peterson, people, and if you want to call in with a question or a comment for C.J., it's 516-453-9902. So, Beam, we got somebody on hold?
We do. Let's go to the phone call. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Dr. Helen.
Hello,
hello. Caller. Well, going once, going twice.
Well, we will assume that...
Area code 212. Are you there? All right. We're going to go ahead and put them back on hold. Sometimes it happens. They wander away from the phone and or the radio, and they don't know they're up next.
Yeah. So, CJ,
yes,
when
sir.
We talked the other day, you were mentioned that you had some other hobbies and interests. What kinds of things are those, and who do you like doing those things with?
Well, super hubby, that's why I call my husband, he's a 24 and a half year Navy vet. We love to travel. So we do a lot of traveling. We do a lot of photography. There's actually a page on my website with my pictures from some of our photography travels. Yeah, we totally love traveling. For example, we went on that cruise. It was a two-week cruise to the Virgin Islands, the West Indies, Dominican Republic. We've been to the Dominican Republic twice now. We've been to Belize. We've been to Jamaica. We've been to Mexico. We've been to South Africa and a lot of places all over the U.S. So totally love traveling, getting to know new people and new cultures.
Do you do something with the photographs that you take when you're traveling? Do you post them somewhere or publish them or do anything?
Yeah, they're on my website. There's a photography page actually on there that has some of the pictures listed. The ones that are on there are things like the Grand Canyon's in there, the Bahamas is in there, Niagara Falls, the Butterfly Conservatory in Toronto, Canada, that was gorgeous. Jamaica's in there, Grand Cayman, Cayman Islands, and Dominican Republic. So there's a lot that you can choose from there.
I look forward to seeing those. I love photography, and I've been every one of the places you named, and those are some beautiful places. I can just imagine what kind of pictures you got around Jamaica. Wow, just wonderful. So, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in the Dominican Republic, we actually stayed in a resort, so it was nice. That was the one time I actually got up in the morning, so I got some great like morning shots and sunsets and sunrises for that.
Oh, nice. So you and Super Hubby also go to certain kinds of events. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. At Comic-Cons. We love Comic-Cons. The part that you didn't know that I forgot to tell you the other day was that I'm part of Star Trek Pathfinder, which is a group on Facebook, and I play the chief of security, and my husband plays the chief medical officer. And what is how I describe it is a kind of like live action storyboards. The captain calls them memesodes. But basically they put you on a ship and there's a whole storyline that goes with it and it's really kind of cool. They're in the photo album section. That's a unique portion. We also help run Comic-Cons. I generally help run the floor. Super Hubby tends to do security and helps with the guests as well. I run the guests. I make sure everything is flowing the way it's supposed to flow. And then he comes behind and helps where needed and does security as well. And we also go and just enjoy them. Like I cover them for Magic Making Mischief as well. And so, yeah, they're pretty fun. I love doing it. We've met a lot of really cool people. I met my number one of my top 10 people that I want to meet. Last year, I met Sean Astin.
Cool.
Yep, for my 50th birthday, I was so excited. So that was a highlight.
Yeah, he's part of that Hollywood royalty. Now, for those people who are listening who may not know what a Comic-Con is, give a little overview of what one could expect at one.
There's a lot of cosplayers. There's a lot of guests. There's a lot of booths of artists and vendors, where they sell T-shirts, they sell books, they sell jewelry, armor. I've seen armor there. I've seen comic book artists. I've seen just a whole myriad of things. That's actually how I found out about the Texas Renaissance Festival, was at a Comic-Con. So they have everything. I've seen they've created, I think it's the 501st that does it. They create Star Wars things, like these things that just run like a robot. Like I saw one of them that did like a huge R2-D2. I've seen one that just created some sort of a droid, and it ran. They had it on remote control. So they're very creative. I've seen Disney princesses. I've seen pretty much you name it. It's like a Geektopia. Honestly, it's like the Super Bowl of Comic-Cons is the one in San Francisco, but the one in my brain is Las Vegas is another big one, but it's kind of like how San Diego has a big one. That's the Super Bowl one. That's the one that's hard to get tickets to. But it's kind of like how sports fans dress up with the jerseys of their favorite players. People dress up as their favorite fandom. So, like, I'm a Stranger Things fan. I love Doctor Who. The list goes on. Torchwood, everything from Lord of the Rings to Harry Potter to Star Wars, Star Trek. I mean, you name it, I'm a fan of all of them. And so for me, it's like kid in a candy store.
Well, they sound like a lot of fun. I've always wanted to check one out.
They are. Yeah. They are super fun. And I love meeting all the people that we meet. The guests are amazing. They're really sweet. I've never had a problem with any of them.
Cool. Great. So, Bame, let's knock out another commercial here. We've got one for a Verwaine Greenhoe book. It's a feel-good piece called I Hate My Mother.
I feel it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right.
He knew from an early age there was something wrong with his mother. By the time he could allow the abused little boy in him to let it go, it was just in time to forgive her. Now he's working to forgive himself. I Hate My Mother is an all-too-true story. At 69, author Verwaine Greenhoe is attempting to justify many things that happened in his life while he can. Many people out there could admit to the same issue. Maybe it was your father, mother, or you change the title as you need. Originally a popular Vela read, this memoir of survival, I Hate My Mother by Verwaine Greenhoe, is now available worldwide in print and ebook editions.
All right.
That was just released in the last 2 days, right? If I remember right, February 6th, something like that. So get out there and get your copy now, people.
Yeah, you know, when earlier, Verwaine had sent me a email and, you know, let me know that they might not be in the audience tonight. But we had been talking, and that you know, that commercial there says that it was originally a popular Vela read. I'm not going to go into his numbers or anything like that, but he makes some pretty good change doing those, you know, some money doing those Vela serialized releases, you know, a chapter here and a chapter there. I'm going to have to check that out and just, you know, see what that's about. This whole Vela thing. I hear good stuff about it. And then Verwaine was talking about it earlier and just what, you know, what he was making off of it. And like, yeah, I might have to check it out. We do have another caller here on the line. So let's go ahead and see if we can't get this one to talk to us. Okay. Area code 256. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good afternoon. This is Barbara Johnson calling from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome
to
the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well. We got CJ Peterson on tonight. So you got a question or a comment for her?
Sure. Hi there, CJ Peterson. How are you?
Hi, ma'am. Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments. I am
impressed.
I'm really impressed with your 10 awards. That is just fantastic.
Thank you.
And that's my question. I have a question about that. How do you choose the awards that you apply for, or do you apply for them, or they're just kind of provided for you? How do you choose them?
I do apply for them a lot of times if I know the process that they go through, and it's not, for example, who you know is how you win. I try to do some of those. An example of that is North Texas Book Festival. The reviewers or the judges for the North Texas Book Festival, first of all, they're anonymous, but I do know the person that knows the judges, and they are mostly librarians that choose which book gets it, and they rate each of the books. So I try to find ones that I know that are just like normal people, because that's my main target.
Okay, and what would be your best suggestion for new authors to get some of those awards or apply for those awards? I've been chasing the Coretta Scott King Book Award for 2 years now, so Gary knows that that's one thing that I'm really wanting for my book, is to get that Coretta Scott King Book Award. So what's your best suggestion for applying for a book award?
What's your genre?
Children, Christian children's books.
Okay. There's Purple Dragonfly. My books have won some of those. Purple Dragonfly is an international award. That's a good one to send it through. And those are well known in children's circles. So there's Purple Dragonfly. There's You Can Be Story Monster Approved. That's another one that schools look for. Find out what your schools are looking for.
Okay.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Go after the awards that are going to matter more than the ones that are just feel good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So purple dragonfly, and what was the second one?
Story Monster.
If you go to Story Monster, purple dragonfly and Story Monster are actually connected. So they're on the same one.
Okay.
So if you look up Purple Dragonfly Awards, you can find it. It's all on the same site.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
No problem.
Good advice.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, Barbara.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Barbara.
Your thing.
So generally speaking, it's what is your genre? And then you go from there.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
All right. So, Bane, I see a question
have,
over on Twitter. You want to go?
Sure. Robert G. Willis-Croft, he's got a question for you, CJ, talking about Comic-Con.
Okay.
He says, will you be at Denver Fan Fest 23? Used to be called Comic-Con. He says, I have a booth there this year again.
Oh, I wish we could. Right now we're staying with Texas-based. So, for example, we're going to be doing Fan Expo Dallas. We're going to be doing Comic Conroe is next month. There's Kimo Kauai. I am doing one in Oklahoma. I'm helping run that one. It's Anime Oklahoma. That's a little bit closer to you. But I try to stay somewhat close to home when I do them. We might start to branch out later, but that's a good one to keep in mind.
Okay. Now, kind of kicking back into the whole writing thing, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but how long have you been writing, and what's the evolution and the progression of your writing from writer to publishing?
Yeah, those are two different questions. Writing and publishing are two completely different questions. Writing, I actually used to have, when I was in first grade, they had us make these little books, and that was the first book I ever made. And I'd been writing ever since. Just my imagination was like craziness. And I'm ADD and OCD, so it's kind of an interesting mix. And that allows me to be a pantser when it comes to writing, yet keep everything somewhat in line. So as far as publishing, that started in 2012.
Well, what motivated you to become a publisher? I mean, usually there's a horror story behind, I got fed up and decided to do it my way. Do you have a story there?
Well, okay, my books are Christian fiction. I tell people it's not your mama's Christian fiction. If you're expecting to pick it up and find Jana Oki, you're not going to find it. That's not my books. So I already knew that I had to work outside the box. I wasn't going to fit in a traditional Christian publishing company. They generally had like a formula, and I knew I wouldn't fit that formula. So I did what's called indie author. So I started publishing by myself. And I went through booklocker.com initially, and they were great. They were very helpful. They have an amazing cover artist, Todd Engel, who did my first 10 books, I think, he did the covers for, 8 to 10. And then my sister started publishing in 2015, and she goes, hey, we can actually do this ourselves. So she figured out certain parts of it. I figured out other parts of it, and we came together, and we decided, okay, well, we'll test them on my books first, and then we'll test them on her books, and then we'll see about bringing other authors in, because my sister writes a lot of little people books. So we basically had the whole thing covered as far as age span. We just had to figure out how to do it. And so we did. And then once we did, we went ahead and started inviting, you know, other authors. We put it out there that we were open to other authors coming in. So that's
cool.
Kind of the basic arc of it.
Okay, so let's say you found a book that you're very interested in, you'd like to publish it, or maybe it's just something that you're working on your own and that you're eventually working toward publishing. What are the steps in that process for you? I mean, whether it's you writing or somebody else writing, obviously writing is first, but then do you use beta readers, editors? Do you bring in professionals? Do you keep it in friends and family? What are the steps?
Well, being an author, I know a lot of other authors, and so I've heard their horror stories regarding beta readers. So some people swear by them. I don't use them. I have another friend who swears by critique groups. and that's all he uses. What I do is I write it, then I send it through a voice called Voice Dream Reader that reads it to me as I go through it line by line to make sure it's supposed to be what it's supposed to be. And then I send it, or my husband and I read it aloud, where I read it aloud and I have it magnified to like 240 so he can see every little thing that I'm reading and making sure that what I'm saying is what's on the paper. And then if we make any adjustments, and then I send it to a copy and a content editor both. They do two different things. Copy editor is your grammar. Content, make sure that if her blonde hair was blonde at the beginning and she didn't dye it through it, that it's still blonde at the end. So
yeah.
Basically it keeps everything.
Those are important.
It is.
One of the famous ones is in Interview with a Vampire, where it's a automatic pistol in one paragraph, and then suddenly it's a revolver in the next.
Oh, goodness.
That's
two different things. Yep. And that's a thing that a lot of authors cringe at because they're so nervous about, you know, pulling the trigger and launching the book. And I'm like, look, there is not a book out there, not even a textbook, that is perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You just kind of got to let it fly at some point. And so, yeah, if you've done your due diligence, let it go and see what happens.
There you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that process, so after we get the edited back, sorry, I'm finishing your first question.
Yeah.
We go through and we re-edit it, and then Super Heavy and I read it again, and then I send it through formatting, and then what I do is I do the covers. So when I go to do my covers, a lot of times I'll go to Dreamtime and I'll find the person that I want for the cover. A lot of mine have people. And then that helps me to visualize what my characters can look like. And then so while it's formatting, I go through and I actually create the cover, or sometimes I create the cover while I'm writing the book. And then just put it all together.
Wow. So where's the term literary assassin come from?
Okay. In my books. Okay. When I watched an interview on Time with Michael Weatherly from NCIS, he said NCIS stands for No Character is Safe. And I got to thinking, you know, that's actually my books. So I need to adopt that. So in my books, no character is safe. Usually at least one person dies per book. Somewhere.
Ooh, the one with the red shirt?
No, not the red shirt. But, yeah. My husband and my daughter tell people, like, don't get attached to the characters because that might be the one she takes out, just so you know.
All right. Literary assassin. That's our guest today, C.J. Peterson, literary assassin.
Yeah.
It's fun. I know a lot, and I have a lot of twisted author friends who help as well.
Oh, you talk about wielding power. Look at the power authors have. I mean, not only mm-hmm. can you just kill them off just randomly if you want to, but you've got the power to bring them back, too. So there's just no
answer. For real. If it's sci-fi, sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they can come back as a vampire or a werewolf or a zombie.
Oh, myriad of things. There is one character that I did go to try to kill, and three chapters later I had to delete the three chapters because I couldn't do it.
Uh-oh.
So I don't always take them out. I was crying for three chapters and I'm like, I can't do it. So I had to go back and delete it. So, there is some that I just can't do it.
Oh. So we've got a new commercial that we've not played before. And this is about a group of people who are dedicated to helping writers improve their crafts. Let's talk about Story Empire.
Story Empire.
Hey, writers, readers, bloggers, poets, editors, journalists, book marketers. You need to check out the free resource at storyempire.com. Yes, Story Empire is a dozen industry experts posting free how-to advice, tips, insider secrets, and more three times a week. Read the ones that fit you and share the rest with your writer friends. That's storyempire.com. It's free, so subscribe now.
Yeah, Gwen Plano's got a a post on there today, so go check that out. I'll have mine will be on Friday, but go check out Glenn's if you haven't gone over there. It's storyempire.com and all kinds of great writing tips and publishing tips and things you might not think about as a
yeah.
writer or as a publisher. So
my next post over there is due next week.
Cool.
Storywriters.com, is that what that is?
Storyempire.com.
Storyempire. Cool.
.com. Yeah.
Writing it down.
All right. Okay. So CJ, 18 novels, different crossover series, 13 books. I mean, you've got some work out there. Plus a children's book series, and not even getting into the blogs and other stuff that you write. Why don't we just throw this open and say, hey, tell us about your books. What kind of stories, the series, what is it you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, tell us.
Well,
tell us on your story.
You described the Team Angel series, and as you mentioned, Angel is an acronym. It stands for Available to Nurture God's Eternal Love. They get their assignment from the Archangel Michael, who sends them out in the world to help people. And that whole storyline is encompassed within Strength from Within, the Holy Flame Trilogy, the Grace Restored series, and the Divine Legacy series. And the Strength from Within, Holy Flame Trilogy, and Grace Restored series are actually all going on at the same time. And then there's the 20-year jump in the Divine Legacy series where the kids actually take over the angels. So it gets all sorts of fun. And then Christmas Angels is attached to that. But, I mean, imagine college-age kids taking over a divine legacy of helping Michael the Archangel. I mean, it ends up doing, like, I told people, an international incident angel style happens in the Divine Legacy series. But the cool thing is the characters actually cross over storylines. You get another part of a different character's story in a different series. So that was really fun. That actually
that's a cool idea.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like 10 years, I think, worth of work altogether with us. And that was really hard to say goodbye to. It was kind of brutal. So the next thing I jumped into was the Sands of Time trilogy. And that one is actually currently on a Lone Star Literary Life blog tour. And with that one, it follows Professor Noah Roth, who's doing experiments on babies trying to generate this gene in them. And he's been trying for 20 years. And he does it under the guise of a fertility clinic. And he picks women with little to no family, and he seeds the experiments. And he finally gets this gene generated in four babies. And the moms kind of die of quote-unquote natural causes, but there is no way. And so two nurses figure out what's going on, and they take two of the kids to save them from growing up as lab rats because he seeded the experiments. He's the father of all these children, which means he has legal right to them. They can't be taken away. So they take two of the kids and basically from Maine to Texas and raise them in this little East Texas town called Willow Bend. And they homeschool them because, you know, their gift starts to show when they're about a year old. So imagine a child that's a telekinetic going to public school. That's just not going to turn out well. So they decide that homeschooling them is the better option. But it shows how they find out about the different gifts and who has them. And then at the appointed time, which is the first title of the first book, the professor sends, turns out he's known about this the whole time. He's using that as part of the, as far as nature versus nurture. So at the appointed time, he sends two of his strongest to come get the other two and to basically punish the nurses who kidnapped them to begin with. And that's when the two kids find out there's actually more of them out there than they thought. There's some in Maine, there's some in Wyoming, and there's some in Oregon. They're all spread out. And so then it's a race against time for the kids to try to rescue all of their siblings throughout the states before the professor can lock them down. And then, so I tell people, stuff starts blowing up in appointed time. It starts exploding and racing against time. And then in out of time, everything pretty much goes nuclear. But I tell people, basically, that is a, I describe it as Stranger Things minus the Mind Flayer stuff meets X-Men. And so that's an interesting one. It's basically a game of chess to find out who wins. And then I have a standalone that I just published last year called Chain Reaction. And that's a time travel book. It was my first journey into historical fiction. I'm always up for challenging myself. And in that one, the great-great-great-grandson comes back to the great-great-great-grandmother, and they travel back in time to 1813, 1922, and 1986. And what they're doing is they're purposely changing their family line because their family line will actually end with him if they don't do something. So in a desperate move, they start kind of tweaking things in their family line to make sure that their line extends further. And their line is kind of known for hot tempers and, you know, a little criminal activity going on. So they're trying to change things as they go to make their family better. And so that's a unique twist. And then
yeah,
I'm currently
interesting because if you slight tweak in somebody's family line could alter things dramatically or even be disastrous.
You know, and will they survive the whole shakeup?
Wow.
That's
I found interesting. That's something I need to check out, I think.
Yep, that's Chain Reaction. And then I have a book coming out in August, and that's where a fire marshal falls in love with an arsonist before he realizes she's the arsonist.
Now, on my end,
it broke up
a little bit, CJ. You said tested by fire. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's tested by fire. And it's where a fire marshal falls in love with an arsonist before he realizes she's the arsonist.
Oh,
wow.
that's a twist.
Yeah. So I love doing twists.
Oh, cool.
And I love moral dilemmas and, you know, challenging the brain.
Yeah. Those are make for good stories. We're going to go to a caller here before we run out of time. Not that we're in any danger, but we might as well take care of the call right now. So let's go ahead and take this call. Hello, caller. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I'm Robert De Niro. Are you talking to me?
You're talking to me? I'm the only one here.
I can say it now. We've had De Niro
calling. How are you
doing,
guys? How is everybody?
Doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Yeah. Have you been impressed by our guest, C.J. Peterson?
Yes, very diverse, very interesting. Congratulations, young lady.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have to say young lady because I think everybody's getting younger than me. But, it's very diverse.
Thank you.
I'm just verse. You're diverse.
Okay.
So, anyway, I'm home for about 2 weeks now, guys, and it's much better here. You don't want to be there.
All right. Well, we're glad to hear that.
Sounds very good. She's very, very interesting.
Oh,
so many different avenues of creativity. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's that whole ADD and OCD thing going on.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. How is the weather where you are?
Where I am?
Yeah.
It's been pretty rainy. It's been a little chilly, but not too bad. I mean, it's Texas.
What's the location? I'm sorry.
It's in Lufkin, Texas, which is in East Texas.
Oh, Texas. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I tell people that Mother Nature's, you know, got some issues going on with her.
Yeah.
And that usually happens in the spring.
It's pretty warm here
in
New York, by the way. It's like
really?
A spring day. It's really weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can send that down to us.
Today
we'll
here,
take that. Yeah. We'll
sunny
take all
70s
that.
Sunny in
70s
here.
Shut up.
Shut all
up
right.
You're sunny in 70s.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in. And
don't forget, I'm going to write the book, about you-know-what. About bad nursing homes, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
So congratulations, young lady. It sounds very, very interesting what you do. Very diverse.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wonderful.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I'll keep listening now. I'll keep listening. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Solid.
Thank you all.
All right, we're starting to get down to the last minutes of our time here. CJ, what kind of fan reaction have you had over the years? Have you had any poignant encounters with fans or any reviews or anything that struck you as particularly meaningful?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stories. I actually tend to keep about 5 to 10 of them for those days where I'm wondering why am I doing this days. So that's a good motivation. That's a good tip for authors. You know, if you find a few that you like, just kind of keep them and set them aside for that. But one time in particular, as I was writing that Team Angel series books, I had written Grace Restored series, and I had written the Holy Flame trilogy, and I had written the Strength from Within, and I was working on the Divine Legacy series. And I got a Facebook message from an older lady, and she says, "I'm on Social Security." She goes, "And I'm old." She says, "I'm not going to make it because the only question not answered is what's in the box." She goes, "I need to know what's in the box." And I'm like, just hold on. It's going to be in the first chapter of Divine Legacy. She goes, "I'm not going to make it to there. You got to tell me what's in the box." That's horrible. I'm like, "No, you got to wait." So that was fun. I've had compared to especially the Holy Flame trilogy to a it is a spiritual awakening regarding spiritual warfare. And so they said it's a spiritual reality check is the words that she used. And so to me, that struck me out as, okay, great. I've hit where I want to hit. And so I just keep doing what I do. And I love the reactions of people, especially people who like find me at a book show or at a Comic-Con, and they're reading through, for example, the Team Angel series, or they're reading one of the series, like Sands of Time trilogy, and they message me as they read through them, and their reactions are hysterical. They're like, "Did you really just do this in the book?" I'm just like, "No, I actually did it a while ago, but yeah, I did. I did do that. I own that." And so they're pretty fun. I love getting the reactions as they're reading them. That's my favorite.
Wow. You know, and that lady sparked an idea for me. I think maybe a good tagline for your next book would be "Your Reason to Live."
Oh, there you go.
Hey, hang on.
But you did mention tagline. You did mention taglines. Mine is "Why the Stories Are Fiction, the Journey is Real." So for me,
cool.
It's all about taking people on journeys.
That's a great tagline.
Oh, I like that.
When I
yeah.
hear "What's in the box," I think Gwyneth Paltrow's head. What's in the box?
Yeah, no. Nope, we're not dealing with seven. Nope, sorry. Yeah. Nope.
No.
I don't do more. I don't do creepy.
Great.
So I do have fun, but, you know.
Beam, let's get our last commercial knocked out here, and then we got another question or two for CJ before we wrap up. We're talking to CJ Peterson, and you still have time to call in if you want, 516-453-9902.
All right.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Fanson. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I met Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has been writing a series of books about me, my brother, and my friends, with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy Discovers the AME Church is about me learning about our church and something terrible that happened in Charleston. The second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, is about discovering the story of our church's founder's family and one hero in particular. These and more Sassy books are published by Fresh Ink Group in laminated hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
All right. Now, that commercial, plus all of our commercials we've played today, we have videos for them over on YouTube in the Fresh Ink Group channel. And that Sassy series is a wonderful series, beautifully illustrated. And you want to see what it looks like? Go check out the trailer. It doesn't cost you anything to have a look.
Yeah.
She sounds adorable.
Yeah.
So, CJ, what advice mm-hmm. do you have for authors that are coming up right now? Or so even authors that have been around.
Okay, that's two different things. The first one, as far as those aspiring authors, because everyone's, as soon as you write, you're a writer. So you're not an aspiring writer, you are a writer.
I agree.
Just own that. But for aspiring authors, just take the plunge. Go for it. You're never going to know until you actually do it. But do it with quality. Do it with style. Write the book that you want to read. Write a book that's timeless, that doesn't follow the fads, because fads do go in and fads do go out. So make sure it's somewhat timeless and can stand on its own. And, you know, either write what you know or be able to have a connection with somebody that you do know that you can find out enough to write what they know, as far as making it as real as you possibly can, even though it's fiction. For authors that are continuing, marketing, and getting content out, not just books, but you got to venture into the other areas like blogging or podcasting or something. Get content out. This is an ADD society. If you don't continuously get content out somehow, whether, you know, because there's usually time between books, but if you don't have something on the in-between, you could very easily be forgotten. So you got to make sure to connect with your audience. You have to do the marketing. You have to, and it's not necessarily pushing your book all the time. Sometimes it's going to events. It's sharing parts of your life. If they can connect with an author on another level that's not just their work, then you've got a loyal fan. For example, with the Gracious Storage series, a portion of the proceeds from my novels actually do go to different charities. I've done that from the beginning, and I will continue to do so. So like my standalone books and the novels, a portion of the proceeds go to charities. And for Grace Restored series, the one I picked for that is Hope Stores, a domestic violence shelter in Plano. I did that because I'm a domestic violence survivor. And when people figure that out, they're like, oh, and some people connect with that on a different level. And that helps them to also connect with the characters as well.
Wow. Tell us again the name of the book that's going on the blog tour, and how can we find some of those blog posts?
It's the Sands of Time trilogy. It's actually three books. It's Appointed Time, Race Against Time, and Out of Time. And you can go to LoneStarLiteraryLife.com, and you click on blog tours, and it's the first one that's up. It's running, started yesterday, and it will run through till the 16th. There is a giveaway involved in that, and we'll be giving away two full ebook sets, Kindle version, of the Sands of Time trilogy. All I have to do is click the raffle copter giveaway, and you're entered. And then there's reviews. There's a book trailer. That's our series trailer that's on there. There's notable quotables, is what she calls them, where there's quotes from the books that are in there. So, yeah, there's lots of things that you can enjoy.
Okay. How can listeners find you, like on social media, blog, website, Facebook, Instagram?
Okay. Well, I'm pretty much everywhere, and I'm going to share a cute little story for the reason for that. In 2013, so about a year after I started publishing, I did an indie author day in the Longview Public Library. And I was one of the speakers there. And afterwards, one of the gentlemen came to me. He goes, I didn't know who you were till today, but I bought all your books. And I'm like, I should be like overjoyed inside my head, but I'm not. My heart kind of sunk. I'm like, great. I'm glad you're enjoying the books. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, he didn't know who I was. If they don't know who you are and can't find you, then they're not going to be able to pick up your books. So I made it my mission from that point forward to make it hard not to find me on the internet. So what I've done is I am all over the internet. You can find all of my links on cjpetersonwrites.com. That's cjpetersonwrites.com. You'll find Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn. You'll find Twitter, YouTube, Gab, Parler, Truth. My Goodreads is on there and my Amazon author page. So generally speaking, my handles are either authoress CJ or authoress_CJ. But you can definitely tell it's me because my pictures are generally the same.
Hmm. Sounds like you've risen to the modern marketing changes that's been happening, and probably one of the biggest is that fans expect for their authors to be accessible now. They want to be able to send them a note to read what they're doing, to look at pictures of what's going on and stuff like that. I mean, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I might have an author that I really liked but not even really be able to tell you what country that author lives in. Now, they want to be able to talk to the author and, you know, just get that little bit of a thrill of saying – expressing appreciation or asking a question or something like that. And your strategy sounds like accessibility, findability, and interactivity. And I think those are critical now, absolutely critical in being a book marketer.
And if you find an author and you connect with them, I totally encourage you to message them. It might seem like, oh, I'm afraid to, but that may be the day that they want to quit. So send
that
note.
Good point.
That review. Do something that would encourage them to keep doing it.
That message could be an encouragement, yeah.
I've even had a few examples where there's like a particular book that I liked decades ago, and I still think about it to this day every now and then, like The Orphan Game by Ann Darby. And then you go look and you see that, you know, she's not putting books out anymore. So track that person down and say, hey, I'm still thinking about that book you put out 20 years ago, and I'm still here. If you want to put another one out, I'm here. You know?
Yeah, and we had actually tried to get her on this show, and you know, we don't hear anything back.
Yeah, and that's disappointing. And
that's,
you know,
a
you would think
book.
That maybe it would be important to the author. So, CJ, we really appreciate your accessibility. You were eager to be a guest on this show, and I know that's a leap
definitely.
Of faith. Boy, is that a leap of faith.
You guys are a treat. Thank you.
But we have thoroughly enjoyed having you on here, learning about you and your books and learning about your sister being a writer, too, and encourage everybody to check out her works. Tell us again her name so people can look.
Her name is L.M. Mann. She's under manwrites.com. That's MANNWRITES.com. You can find Texas Sisters Press at TexasSisters, that's a whole SS thing I mentioned earlier, .com. And then I'm CJPetersonWrites.com. So they're all
right. Well, this has definitely been a lot of fun. So we're about out of time here, listeners. Keep in mind, next week we're going to have Gwen M. Plano talking about that new book, Redemption, plus her memoir, Letting Go Into Perfect Love, plus her series, The Contract Series. And we'll see what else is on her mind. And who we got after that, Bean?
After that, we've got Carlisle Times. He's going to come in and talk about his newly re-released novel, The Calling Dream. So tune in for that. That's in 2 weeks. And after that,
and we've got A.K. Wingler, author of the How to Start a Food Truck Business series. Plus, we built a website for her called YourFoodTruckHowTo.com. And we encourage anybody who's thinking about a food truck to get over there and check that out as well. And make sure you listen to the podcast with A.K. Wingler. And beyond that.
And if you see food trucks where you're at, snap pictures of them and send them to A.K. Wingler on her website. She'll post them up there.
Yeah.
And after that, we've got Karen Ingalls. Karen Ingalls has been on a couple of times. And we're actually republishing her memoir, Outshine, her ovarian cancer memoir. So she'll come in and talk about being a cancer survivor and being an author. And it's always a good conversation when Karen's on the show. So tune in for that. And after that, we got
Cheryl Carpinello. She was referred to us by Robert Williscroft. She's a member of the Colorado Authors League. And we did not know her until recently, and we already like her, so we're looking forward to having her on the show. And speaking of Colorado Authors League, who's after Cheryl?
Jody Bowersox. Similar situation to Cheryl Carpinello. Yeah, Jody Bowersox will be in after Cheryl, and should be a good time, because as you're getting to know these two authors, we're getting to know them, just like with CJ tonight. As you're getting to know CJ, we're getting to know her. So be sure to tune in. It's always a good time when we have somebody on here that they're new to us. And it's just a good way to introduce people to you, the listeners, and to us. So.
Yep. So everybody get out there and check out CJ Peterson. We hear you might have to do a little hunting in order to find her on the internet, but once you do, she's got a whole bunch of stuff out there. And so thanks for being on the show, CJ. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you guys, CJ, for
having me. One more thing. When you get down here, go on Twitter and hit hashtag Fresh Ink Group. All one word there, obviously, is a hashtag. And you can answer back some of these comments that are on here. And I see Verwayne Greenhill just chimed in with, better late than never, but we just got home. Well, welcome home, Verwayne. We're glad that you you made it safely. But go over to hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and you can comment back to the comments over there and thank them for listening. And thank you for being on the show tonight.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. We'll see everybody next week with Gwen M. Plano. And everybody take care. Be careful. Watch that you don't get sick, because there seems to be things going around these days. Have a good one.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.